Exodus chapter 14. Verses 21 and 22. Exodus chapter 14, verses 21 and 22, it reads, "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left." Let's bow for prayer. Oh God, please teach us from your word this morning. Thank you for our time of worship. Oh God, we are mindful and humbled that we all have needs. We all have physical needs. We all have more so spiritual needs. So I pray, oh God in heaven, that you'd meet each one at that point of spiritual need. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We have here in Exodus chapter 14 the historical event of the nation of Israel crossing the Red Sea. This miraculous crossing is all about God. It's all about God. What God did for the nation of Israel. And also how God dealt with the Egyptians. What God did and how God dealt. What God will do for the child of God is vastly different to how he deals with those outside of his kingdom. And let me ask you this morning, are you a part of the kingdom, the dominion of God? The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 3, "Except a man be born again," or born from above, "he will not see or enter into the kingdom of God." Our physical birth brought us into this world. And it's that spiritual birth that qualifies us for heaven and makes us a part of the kingdom of God. What God will do with a child of God is vastly different to how he will deal with those outside of his kingdom. My friend, are you a part of the kingdom of God? I'd like for us for a few moments this morning contrast what God did for Israel and make some applications for you and I that are part of the kingdom of God. But also we'll note how God dealt with the Egyptians. How God dealt with the Egyptians were those that rejected his word and refused to worship the one and true and living God. What God did and how God dealt. That's the essence of our sermon this morning. We note here in verses 21 and 22 that we've just read, we see what God did for Israel in the crossing of the Red Sea. This is a wonderful miracle that we have before us. In fact, this is the most referred to miracle. Listen carefully. The crossing of the Red Sea is the most referred to miracle within the Old Testament. This miracle, this specific miracle recorded here in Exodus chapter 14, is the most referenced miracle
Now, if you compare the Old and the New Testament, there's far more miracles recorded in the Old Testament compared to the New. And the crossing of the Red Sea is the most referenced miracle from the Old Testament. It's important to bear that in mind. Because God did something that was very special on that day. When God's people crossed the Red Sea on dry ground, we see what God did in detail here within this chapter. If we go back to verse number 20, we note that God gave Israel light. Note there in verse 20, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness under them, that is the Egyptians, but it gave light by night to these, Israel, so that the one came not near the other all the night. So we see here, in preparing God's people in crossing the Red Sea, God provided light for them. It was night, the sun had gone down, and God provided light for them via this pillar of cloud. It was darkness for the Egyptians. It was light for the people of God. So God's people could see and be guided in the right direction. God gives us light in the person of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. The Egyptians were in darkness, but shall have the light of life. God gave light to Israel. And that's what God will do for you. That's what God will do for me as a child of God. And God has given us His eternal word, the Bible, to be a light and a lamp to us. But also, as we read in verse number 21, we see that God opened up the Red Sea. God opened up the Red Sea. Moses stretched out his hand, verse 21. His hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. It must have been pretty deep. During the course of the night, the waters slowly but surely stood up, and God opened up a way in and through the Red Sea. My friend, it's not dull and boring to be a Christian. Sister Marie mentioned that. It's amazing what God will do with your life and my life if we will surrender to Him. I'm having a ball as a child of God. My family can't fathom the places that I've been to. And I can say it's because of God. Because of God, and being a child of God, I visited no less than I've made five mission trips. I've been to Israel 3 times. God's been good to me. I'm having a ball. Even here in Australia, I'm having a ball. It's not dull and boring to be a Christian. It's the most rewarding, satisfying life on this side of eternity. For Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the waters opened up, and God gave His people an opportunity to move forward and onward for God's glory. So we see a new chapter materializing before the nation of Israel. We see that God provides light for them. And then we read on in verse number 22, Israel, in a literal sense, they experience a miracle. They were part of a miracle. They experienced a miracle by entering into the Red Sea and walking on dry ground. they experienced a miracle. They were involved in something greater than themselves. And my friend, when a person receives Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, God not only changes that individual, if any man be in Christ, is a new creation, a new creature. God gives peace. God gives joy. God removes the burden of guilt. God gives hope. All of these in themselves are miracles. Are miracles that take place within the heart and life of every man, woman, and child that repents of their sin and invites Jesus Christ to be their Savior. And at that point, they are born into the kingdom of God. They are part of God's dominion. And being a part of God's dominion equates to forgiveness, equates to hope, equates to peace and joy. And yet this is only the beginning for the child of God. It's only the beginning. When that individual yields their life fully to the Lord, God is able to do above and beyond that which we might ask or think. So we see that Israel are part of a miracle. It's obviously God is at work. God has opened up the Red Sea. And here we find Israel walking through the Red Sea on dry ground, the Bible teaches us in verse 22. And it's also important that we note here in verse 22 that God provided a wall of water on either side of the nation as they made their way through the Red Sea. God provided protection. God provided direction for them. So we see within this miraculous event, we see that God provided light. God provided opportunity. God provided an opportunity to experience the miraculous. And God provided protection and guidance all the way. What God will do with you and I, if we will yield fully to His will, God will provide light. God will provide new opportunities. God will allow you and I to be a part of something greater than ourselves. And God will provide protection. God will provide protection. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. God provided not a wall made out of fire, but a wall made out of water on either side of Israel in order to guide them and protect them as they made their way through the Red Sea. What God did for Israel is a fitting picture of what God wants to do for you, what God wants to do for me, as I yield fully to His leadership. Note then verse number 23, please. It reads, "And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen." We also see within this chapter how God dealt with the Egyptians. What God did for Israel, but how God dealt with the Egyptians. Even though the Egyptians pursued Israel, God provides a miraculous deliverance from them. It's interesting to note that there in verse number 19, we see that God kept the Egyptians at a distance. Note then verse 19, "And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them." So God kept the Egyptians at a distance. And this is what God will do for you and I. He will keep the enemy at a distance. Do you recall what God did with Satan when he wanted to harm Job? And God said, you can afflict him, but you cannot take his life from him. God kept the evil one at a distance. But also note there that God concealed Israel's full movements by this pillar of darkness that the Egyptians had before them. That pillar of cloud was a light for the Israelites, but it was a pillar of darkness for the Egyptians. So God concealed Israel's full movements. And may I remind you, my friend, that only God is all-powerful, only God is all-present, and only God is all-knowing. The Egyptians were not able to do anything because they were in the dark. Nor could they know fully what Israel was doing on the other side of that cloud of darkness. I love verse number 24. Look at verse number 24. It reads, "And it came to pass that in the morning watch..." Now, the morning watch would roughly be 3 a.m. in the morning. A godless time to be awake. "And it came to pass that in the morning watch that the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians." God troubled the Egyptians. God kept the Egyptians at a distance, and God darkened the inside of the Egyptians. But the Bible also teaches us that God troubled the Egyptians. Now, how did he trouble the Egyptians? Well, we read on in verse 25, it reads, "And took off their chariot wheels." I think God's got a sense of humor. "He took off their chariot wheels." Now, why is that so significant? These chariots of the Egyptians were well known. The Egyptians prided themselves in these prestigious vehicles they had called chariots. They were boastful of their fleet of chariots. That was their boast, for a better word. And God has his way of removing the wheels of evil intentions against the people and the purposes of God. So God removes their chariot wheels. And then we read on verse number 25 that they drove them heavily. That's understandable. That's understandable. My friend, the Bible teaches us the way of the transgressor, the way of the sinner is not easy, it is hard. And all of a sudden, all of these chariot wheels were dropping off left, right, and center. So no doubt those chariot men naturally would do what you and I would do. Instead of stopping, just keep going. But it was hard going. Hard going. The way of the transgressor is hard, heavy, difficult, as opposed to one that will come to Jesus Christ, who said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest. And then also we note then verse 25, not only did God take off their chariot wheels, they had difficulty driving their chariots from that point on. But also in verse 25 it reads, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." See, they realize. The Egyptians realized. They were aware that God was judging them and that God was fighting on the behalf of the nation of Israel. They admitted that fact. They were well aware that God was judging them. The Egyptians were sent into disarray, into confusion. My friend, God can easily derail the work of evil. God is able. In fact, in Psalm 77, if we had time, we would go there, verses 16 to 20. Maybe you could do that afterwards. We read of severe thunderstorms. We read of high winds. And from the thunderstorms and the high winds, that dry ground became muddy ground. And that made their chasing even more difficult. And we find within some of the other Psalms a reference to this wonderful miracle recorded here in Psalm 66, 78, 80, 81, 105, 106, 136. And then we can go to the book of Isaiah, we go to the book of Jeremiah, we go to the book of Amos, Micah, Hosea. They all mention the crossing of the Red Sea. You get my point? It was a miracle of miracles. And God enabled the people of God to cross that sea on dry ground, but for the Egyptians, well, God had to deal with them. And we read of that in verses 26 to 28, how God dealt with, once and for all, the Egyptians. Note, please, Exodus chapter 14, verses 26 to 28. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians. This wall of water on the left and on the right. The waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, upon their horsemen. So by this point, the whole of the Egyptian army is there in the midst of the Red Sea, trying to make their way across. And then it reads there in verse 27, Lord stretched his hand over the sea. The sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. Just before sunrise, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the what? Midst of the sea. And verse 28, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. And note the end of verse 28, it reads, there remained not so much as one of them. God dealt with the Egyptians. That wall of water on the left and on the right, upon Moses raising his hand once again, came. And that was the end of the Egyptians. Squashed like a rotten tomato. Nobody escaped. God dealt with those that opposed the work of God. See, God is not only loving, God is also just. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, what God did for the Israelites was miraculous. But in contrast, we note how God dealt with those that oppose God and oppose His great work. The crossing of the Red Sea took place in 1446 BC. 1446 BC. A miraculous event.
the beginning of a new chapter for the nation of Israel. And as I've mentioned, this miracle, the crossing of the Red Sea, is the most referred to miracle of the Old Testament. Even in Hebrews chapter 11, the great prestigious chapter, where the who's who are mentioned, guess what event is mentioned there? The crossing of the Red Sea. Hebrews 11, verse 29. And it's by no coincidence that this miraculous event is attacked more so than any other miraculous event recorded in the Scriptures. There are those that deny the supernatural, that are anti-God, and try to discredit the supernatural elements of what is recorded in Scripture, how God dealt with His people miraculously. There are those that deny the supernatural elements in the crossing of the Red Sea by saying, and be aware of this, by saying that Israel crossed a shallow portion of water, not deep water. And their argument is that the word translated red in our Bible comes from a root Hebrew word that can be translated reed. And these ones that want to deny the supernatural elements of the Scriptures, they would say Israel did not cross the Red Sea, they crossed the Reed Sea. The Reed Sea. So what really happened was that Israel crossed a shallow body of water, no higher than the kneecap, in order to try and discredit the miraculous recorded here in Scripture. Now, how do we answer that? I'm glad you've asked. To this, we as Bible-believing Christians simply say, if one reads the context carefully, it is clear that where Israel crossed, the water was deep enough to be a wall on the left and a wall on the right. And the Bible says they went in and they came out. And the area was so vast that the whole of the Egyptian army was within the Red Sea, initially on dry ground. And more so, this body of water killed the whole of the Egyptian army. So, to our fellow liberals that deny the supernatural elements of the Word of God, we would simply say, if it was really a shallow body of water that Israel crossed, then we would say it was a greater miracle. It was a greater miracle. That shallow water was used to crush and destroy completely the whole of the Egyptian army. Take your pick. Either way, it's a great miracle. But for those of us that simply believe the simple teaching of the Scriptures and take God at face value, that what God said, He meant, and what He meant, He said, we have here a miracle. God doing the miraculous. God doing something great in the life and history of the nation of Israel. What God did for Israel was miraculous. It was special. And what God wants to do for you and what God wants to do for me is special And God wants to do the miraculous in and through your life and my life. But it begins with salvation. We begin this journey by receiving Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior. That's where it all begins. We become a part of the kingdom of God. And when you and I become a part of God's family, the kingdom of God, and we are changed into His likeness, God has a purpose, God has a place for you and I, and God wants to do something special in and through your life and my life. This is a special, special miracle. No wonder it's attacked time and time again. Because it's so special. It reveals very clearly what God did on the behalf of His people. That is a timely reminder for you and I as the people of God. That greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. If you know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, my friend, you're on the winning side. You're on the winning side. And I'd like to encourage you this morning by the fact that God wants to do something great in your life. And if you and I will just yield to His guidance, to His leadership, God will take you places that you would never have dreamed of. I know that's a fact. I know that's a fact. I'm just as much a child of God as what you are by faith in Jesus Christ. And what God wants to do with you can be just as miraculous and new and exciting and as much as what He wants to do in my life. But we need to yield to Him. What God did for Israel and how God dealt with the Egyptians. See, God is a loving God. God is a just God. God is a holy God. The wages of sin is death. And my friend, this morning, if you've yet to receive Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, judgment's coming. And maybe you are feeling already that the wheels of your chariot have fallen off. And life's a bit hard. It's a bit tough. And in your conscience, you are mindful. Maybe God is judging me. Maybe God is judging me. My friend, I invite you to receive Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Because God wants to do great things in your life. But you need to be a child of God. And you need to yield to His guidance, to His leadership. Let's bow for prayer.